It's a joy and a pleasure to be back to Fairview Memorial again tonight, and to be a part of the Winter Bible Study again. I really do enjoy these studies each year, and I hate to miss any of them. And so far this year, I've missed the lessons presented by the Brother Skinner, and also the lessons presented by the Brothers Spurgeon. And you all are brothers, aren't you? And I really hated to miss, and I'm not sure, but I think probably I've missed more this year than I have all the other years put together. I could be wrong about that, but it seems that way to me. But I'm glad to be here tonight. As Brother Jeff said, we did go to Indiana today for my niece's funeral. Very unusual thing happened. My oldest sister's son-in-law passed away on a Monday, and his wife, who is her daughter, passed away on a Wednesday. And I'd like for you all to pray for Marie. She's taking this very hard, and so please hold her up. I also wanted to mention the service at Mount Lebanon Sunday. I got home from church, and it was already on Facebook, and about how the Lord had blessed you all, and two had been saved, and two more had told about being saved previously, and all of them joined the church, and that made me rejoice. I'm so glad that the Lord's blessing you all out there. And I hope he'll do the same for all the rest of us as well. You know, we need those kind of services, don't we? We sure do. I want to thank the church again for the opportunity to try to teach a lesson. And I don't normally have that too close. And my lesson for tonight is brotherly love. I felt very strongly about trying to present this lesson tonight. I feel like the Lord gave it to me, as Jeff said. And I spent a great deal of time in study and prayer and meditation and trying to put a lesson together. I'm not as gifted and talented as Jeff is arranging, and I don't have the vocabulary that he has. And so I'm just me. And so I'm going to do the best that I can with the lesson. I'd like to begin by reading a passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And it reads like this: "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." I pray God will bless the reading of His Word and that He'll bless as we try to present it. In this opening statement, it kind of seems like that Paul is suggesting to all of us that since God has taught us to love one another, that's all that's needed. No further instructions are needed about brotherly love. But we don't want to deceive ourselves. Paul acknowledges, of course, the love that the church had for the brethren in all Macedonia. But he immediately appeals to them to increase more and more. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that we don't love the Lord. If you've been saved, I'm going to say you love the Lord. Amen. The Bible teaches us that he that loveth not God knoweth not God. And so we have the love of God, and we do love God, and we do love one another. But we can increase more and more in that area, can't we? I believe that we can. Verse 11 that I read in your hearing implies the need to learn and practice self-discipline. He said, study to be quiet and to mind your own business. And sometimes it would do good, and I think it would be we would be cultivating brotherly love if we would just sometimes keep quiet. And if we would sometimes just mind our own business and let everybody else do the same. And you may not see that in this passage of Scripture, but I do. He said, study to be quiet. Do your own business. And he said, we should guard ourselves so we do no harm to each other. No harm to each other. I think there has, in days past and gone, I think we have injured each other. At times, perhaps, in the things that we've said, the things that we've done, where if we had just held our peace and mind their own business, things would have been much better than what they are. But anyway, there's a reason for this now. He says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. And I believe that people outside our churches, I believe they have a right to watch our conduct and to listen to our conversations. And after all, we are described as a city that's set upon a hill. And so people have the right to observe us and to listen to our conversation. We have discouraged other people from maybe even coming to our churches, or coming to hear our pastor, or coming to hear us. So we need to be careful in that area. Now, brotherly love is special. It really is special. It's something worth working at. We need to give special attention to brotherly love. By the way, this also means sisterly love. Everything that it says about brothers loving one another, it says about sisters loving one another. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Sometimes we can hinder the flow of brotherly love. We can throw a stumbling block in people's way. We can do things that perhaps are offensive to them and would cause them to lose confidence even in us. And we need all the confidence that we can muster. You know, people need, as Jeff said, people need to have confidence in us as preachers. They need to have confidence in us as deacons. They need to have confidence in us as lay members. Because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His people. We are His workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works. I want to talk about the origin and the source of brotherly love just for a moment, and I know you probably already understand this. But in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the nature of God. The essential nature of God is love. God so loved the world. And I believe that the plan of salvation, which is by grace through faith, was based upon the fact that God loves sinners. And He has a desire to save sinners. And He has a method whereby sinners can be saved. He has a means of spreading the good news of that way of salvation. And we are responsible as the people of God to get that message out. God is love. And so I believe that love is the first fruit of regeneration in the new birth experience. I know the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I believe that's, you know, when we're born again, we're regenerated, and God gives us life. I believe the first emotion that we experience is love. We sing a song sometimes, "It makes me love everybody." And that was my experience. When I was saved, the love of God came into my heart and it changed me. It changed my attitude. It changed my thought process. I appreciate that. Jesus declared that you must be born again, didn't He? And of course, regeneration is a term that explains the new birth. Because when a person is dead in trespasses, that means... let me back up a minute. I misread some of that. Jesus declares you must be born again. And regeneration is a term that explains a new birth. When a person dead in trespasses and in sin is born again, he is quickened and made alive. And that's what regeneration is. It's the giving of life to those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And that life is eternal life. And so the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saves us by the washing or the cleansing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now Peter made a statement that I want to share with you. He said that it's according to His divine power. That God, according to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby He hath given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In the new birth and in regeneration, we are made partakers of the divine nature. God is love. And He sheds His love abroad in our hearts, which makes us recipients of the love of God. And so we possess in our hearts the divine nature. And I already quoted, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And God's nature in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, gives us love. Now God's nature is love, and we're made partakers of His nature, whereby therefore we love God, but we also love one another. See, we love God. That love comes in. But it's not just love for God, it's love for one another. It is spiritual love. It is not natural affection. You know, as an alien sinner, you can possess natural affection. You can love your dog, and you can love your wife, and you can love your parents. Those are natural affection. But when you're saved and you're born again, the love that God puts in your heart is supernatural love. It is spiritual in nature, and it is not physical. So the love shed abroad in our hearts gives knowledge. John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's brotherly love. That's love for the brethren that comes into our hearts when we're born again and become children of God. Now, Harper's Bible Dictionary defines love as the chief quality or attribute of the ideal character. And I believe that's a good definition. I believe it's correct, because the New Testament describes charity or love for us in this way. We have love to God, and Paul said, if I have all knowledge and I have the ability to do all things, all miracles, he said, and have not love, it profited me nothing. I could turn to 1 Corinthians and read all of that, but you are aware of that as well as I am, and so I won't do it at this point. But he describes charity as especially toward brethren in this way. It is patient. It is kind. It is not jealous. It is not boastful, not arrogant, and not rude. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, nor resentful, and it does not rejoice in that which is wrong, but it rejoices in that which is right. Now that's the quality of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And that's the kind of love that we need to exhibit and display and manifest among one each other and with one another. Love to God is the highest expressed demand of the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, God said through the prophet, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So my personal belief and opinion is that love to God is the highest expressed demand. God wants his creation to love him. And we should love him. And we should obey him. But when we get to the New Testament, that Pharisee lawyer that spoke to Jesus, he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So Jesus confirmed what I just said. He confirmed. He said, Jesus quoted this very scripture to him. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. We owe it to God. But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus continued, and he added, and the second is like unto it. The second greatest commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, as children of God, as Christians, as people who are born from above, who have the Holy Spirit living within us, that the very divine nature of God, we are to love God first and foremost. He should have preeminence in the life of every one of us. But second to that, our brothers and our sisters. Paul said, let brotherly love continue. We need to love one another. We need to promote one another. We need to have confidence in one another. I tried to preach a sermon one time over at Pleasant Hill where Brother Strode was pastor. He was pastor at the time, and I was helping him in the meeting. But, it is really important for us to have confidence in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need to have confidence in what we're doing. I believe that we are doing the right thing and doing it the right way. Amen. I believe that. And we need to have confidence in it, that it will work. If we do what God wants us to do, God will bless us. Amen. Just that simple. We need to have confidence in one another. We need, when somebody stands up and says, I feel like the Lord wants me to testify. We shouldn't say, I've heard that before, it's time to go eat lunch anyway, Why is he taking all that time? We should have confidence that God is going to use that testimony to touch somebody's heart. Amen. We need to have confidence in one another. And being contrary to what Jeff said, I believe he was right. I endorse his sermon, his lesson. We should not be arrogant, and we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But I tell you what, if you're serving God and you're doing what God wants you to do, you need to have confidence in what you're doing. Amen. You need to have confidence in what you're doing. Because this is God's way of doing things. He uses us, don't he? We are members of his body. And he uses us in the service of the Lord. I don't know how I got into that. But anyway, I did. And we need to love one another, and we need to manifest that love. Amen. Now, there are many types of love. I don't know what time I started, Brother Bandy.
You got
20
minutes.
Still got 20 minutes? Oh, boy. There are many types of love. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word, ahaba, and I may not pronounce that right, but from which the word love, from which our word love was translated. And this word applies to many types of love. And I'm not saying that this is the only Hebrew word that our word love come from, but I'm just saying that this one in particular is used in describing and expressing different kinds of love in the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament is written in Greek, which has several words from which our word love was translated, depending on the type of love in the context. For example, Eros has reference to sexual love. Storge has reference to family affection. You know, we all love our families, don't we? We should love them, you know. Family. God should come first, shouldn't he? Yeah, family second, huh? And maybe church second, and then family third. But we need to love our families. And there's a word in the Greek language that refers to family affection. There is the word philia, and I may not pronounce any of these right, but it has reference to friendship between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. All of us have special friends, don't we? We should have. We have, you know, those of us who are men, we have brothers in the church and maybe outside the church that are our special friends. Well, there's a word that describes that. And then there's philanthropy, which has reference to humanitarian type of love. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this year at Christmas time, there was somebody in this community that took $10,000 and gave it to the law enforcement officers here in Bowling Green and Warren County and asked them to distribute it to people that they felt like needed help, you know. And they handed out $100 bills. How many read that in the paper? Did you see it in the paper? It is in there. I didn't make that up. But there is a word for that kind of love, you see. All right. Then there is agape love. And that's the God kind of love. That's the kind of love that God had for us. And may I add, that's the kind of love that we have for each other. Because that love was placed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that love came from God. And that's God's love. And we are to love one another with a God kind of love. A God kind of love. That's the kind of love which is God's nature, for God is love. And also for the kind of love that is in the children of God, which was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, when we were born of God and made partakers of the divine nature. I could say some more about that, but I'll quit there right now. And then there is the Greek word Philadelphia, referring to the subject we have under discussion tonight. Love of the brethren, or brotherly love. This word is used in a fraternal sense. Our denomination, our Baptist churches, especially our local churches, are primarily religious and spiritual organizations. But we also are social organizations. We're made up of people. And we have somewhat of a fraternal sense. Now, the dictionary said a fraternity is a group of people sharing a common interest or profession, having the feeling of friendship and mutual support within the group. Is that what I've been talking about tonight? It is, isn't it? Yeah, we are a group of people. We're a special group of people. And I don't mean to be thinking more highly of us than we ought to. I told you a while ago, I believe that we're doing the right thing, and doing it the right way. I believe we're called of God to do that. So we do have this feeling of friendship and mutual support, don't we? Don't you want to see your brothers and sisters prosper and do well? Don't you want to see our sister churches prosper and do well? You know, this friendship and mutual support is important because we have relationships with each other. In Romans chapter 12, Paul begins instructions concerning the practical application of religious service and relationships. Previous chapters, he'd been teaching doctrine. He'd been teaching salvation by grace. Can't get saved by works. No man's justified by the works or deeds of the law. He's justified through faith in Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. But then he gets over to chapter 12 and he begins, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Nothing outstanding. You know, in Old Testament days, they presented dead sacrifices. You know, they killed the animals and made the sacrifices. But you know, we are living stones. We are lively stones. We have been given life. Peter, once again, he talks about how that we are begotten unto a lively hope, living hope. It's not dead, it's alive. We should be living subjects of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should present our bodies as living sacrifices. If sometimes it may not be convenient to do what the Lord wants you to do. You know what we ought to do? We ought to sacrifice and go on and do it. That's what we ought to do. Say, sometimes I don't feel like going to church, you know. Get up and get ready and go and you'll feel better.
Amen.
My daddy, I've heard him say a lot of times in a testimony, I didn't feel like coming tonight, but I feel better now. And the Lord will bless you. See. So present your body as a living sacrifice. Just your reasonable service. You don't have anything to brag about. If you go to Sunday school and church Sunday morning, church Sunday night, church Wednesday night, you ain't got nothing to brag about. It's just your reasonable service to the Lord that saved you by His grace. He says that we should present our bodies. Then he said, don't conform to the world. Don't conform to the world. That's one of the problems with our churches today. We have conformed to the world. But he said, don't do that. But he says, rather, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of people, you hear them say, well, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. You can find out if you want to. You can find out. So he says, don't think too highly of yourself. Now Jeff took care of that, so I won't say to him about it. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? That means you better be sincere in your love for your Lord and for your brother. And don't be a hypocrite. That's what it means. Don't be hypocritical. Don't pretend that you love people when you don't love them. And then he goes on and he says, be kindly affectionate. And that's a hard word for me to say. one toward another with what? Brotherly love. Kindly, show kind affection. That means in a kind manner and a warm-hearted way. Jeff talked about people that maybe they are warm and friendly toward you for a while, and then after a while, they shun you, you know. That's not the way to be a good Christian. You show affection one to another, and you do it in a kind manner and in a warm-hearted way. It needs to be genuine. It doesn't need to be pretended. It needs to be real. And it says, in honor, preferring one another. That means showing respect to each other. Respecting each other. And he said, be of the same mind one toward another. In honor, preferring one another, showing respect. Be of the same mind one toward another. Condescend to men of low estate. Don't act like you're better than anybody else. Because we're not. We're not. I'm no better than anybody else, and nobody else is any better than I am. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all that we are. And we need to recognize that. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's pride of self. You know, I've seen people that I thought were so proud of being humble. They're so just really proud of being humble, you know. Made me want to be as humble as they were. Recompense no man evil for evil. Recompense no man. I said a while ago, we need to do no harm. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Somebody mistreats you, God will take care of it. I'll promise you. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And he said, I will repay. If somebody does you bad, go on and love them. It ain't going to hurt you. Oh, I can't love him the way he treated me. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It says, for it's written, vengeance belong to me. He said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Brotherly love may or may not be accompanied by personal affection. Is that a contradiction? No, it's not. It's not a contradiction. We can still treat each other right. And we can be kind, and we can be thoughtful, and we can be considerate, even to people that we don't have a strong attraction to. Now, that's brotherly love. That's brotherly love. Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you and do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your heavenly Father which is in heaven. What does that mean? You don't become a child of God by works, do you? No, you don't. But that means that you might bear the likeness of your Father which is in heaven. How do you know that's what it means, preacher? Let's read a little more. For he, God, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? If you just love the ones that do something for you all the time, you ain't going to get no reward out of it. If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, it means, so when people are watching your lives, they'll see that you look like God. You act like God acts. You don't act like one of the devil's children. You act like one of God's children. Abraham manifested brotherly love toward Lot and his people. He said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and me, for we're brothers. We're brethren. We are brothers. Therefore, we should love like brothers. We should let brotherly love continue. There's one more paragraph, but Brother Bandy's done. Flip that switch over there. So I'm going to let you read that last paragraph yourself. And I'll close. I think there is we love one another, but I think there is a great need for us to increase more and more. May God bless you. I love all of you. I want you to pray for me. I have been sick, and I have a little problem that I'm going to have fixed. I've got an aneurysm in an artery, and Doc assures me it's not an emergency, but it could be an emergency, and so we're going to get it fixed. And so I appreciate your prayers, and I want you to continue to pray for me. God will help me to be what He wants me to be.